Well, a few weeks ago, we started exploring a moment that Jesus had with his disciples, and it really has broken down to three different questions. The first week was us asking this question, will I still go? If you guys remember, Jesus on the hillside, he sees the crowds coming towards him in Matthew chapter 9, and he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. But then as we moved into this series, we saw that Jesus didn't just send them out with a hope and a prayer, but Jesus gathered them together. He said, listen, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be hard times that come, and we need to trust him and to obey him. And so the first week, we asked the question, will I still go? In week two, then we asked a different question. It was, will I still trust? This was this last week because we looked at John the Baptist and a man who was totally sold out to God, totally sold out to what God wanted to do in his life, believing God for great things, and yet he was locked in a prison cell. And even John the Baptist started to have some doubts. And so the question we asked last week was, will I still trust even when times are hard? Today, our question is really going to break down to this idea of how do I still keep going? When times are tough, when things are hard, when everything seems stacked against you, how do you still keep going? Matthew 11, verses 20 to 30, and that's where we're going to be, isn't a disconnected invitation tacked onto the end of the chapter. Instead, it's Jesus' response to everything that has happened leading up to this moment. Because the disciples have been sent out on a mission. But the mission is difficult. The mission is hard. John the Baptist is sitting in prison with these unwavering, unanswered questions. Entire towns have rejected Jesus despite witnessing his miracles. And if you look in verse 20, Jesus, it says, began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Most of his miracles had been performed in these cities, and yet they didn't listen. They didn't turn their lives over to God. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples to say, even Jesus himself walking among them doing miracles wasn't enough to convince them to turn their lives over to God. And I think really the key to all of this and for us as well is that the burden of loving people who don't respond is becoming painfully evident in Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus looks at them, he has compassion on them, and he says, I know the way that you should go. So why aren't you going in that direction? But what I love about Jesus is Jesus' response isn't just try harder. It's not just let's do more for the kingdom. It's not just let's initiate another campaign. Instead, Jesus' response and how Jesus invites his disciples is come to me. Come to me, be with me. Because in addition to the mission that all of us have been sent on, that Jesus has prepared for all of us, we still have all of the normal responsibilities of life, don't we? We still have all of the normal things that we're going through. Those of you that are parents, you've got soccer practice, you've got bills to pay, you've got expectations to manage, we have doctor's appointments that you need to make sure and keep straight. For those of you that, you know, your kids are out of the house, but maybe you're dealing with parents who need care, and so you're trying to manage all of that. For those of you that don't have kids yet, there's the stress of trying to get your career going, and all of these things just stack on top of each other, and you're like, how will I ever afford a house? How will I ever afford the things that I need in life? And so all of these things stack on top of each other. It can feel like you're just juggling constantly, can't it? And when you're well-rested and everything is going great, it can be hard to deal with a three-year-old having a tantrum. But if you haven't slept in the last 3 years, it's just that much harder, isn't it? When things are great, it's difficult. When things are great and something like that pops up, it's hard. But when you're exhausted, when you're at the end of your rope, when there's nothing left in your energy tank, it can feel impossible to get through moments like that. But this is where Jesus steps in. And this is where Jesus offers us partnership, where Jesus says, I want you to go and offer relief to others. I want you to take this message of the kingdom, and I want you to take it out to everybody that you meet. But don't worry, because I'm going to be with you along the way. You see, Jesus doesn't always remove the burdens, but he does share the load. And this is what we're going to see in this message today, is that as Jesus instructs his disciples to go, he also gives them the tools that they need in order to accomplish the task that he has for them. So we're going to back up a couple verses, verse 25, and I just want to read this for you guys. It says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All these things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, what he's saying here is that there is a group of people who have allowed their pride to get in the way. He calls them the wise and the learned, but they've allowed their pride, their self-importance, the education that they've received. They've allowed those things to get in the way of being able to see who he is. Remember, a lot of the towns where he performed miracles had rejected him. And so he says the reason that they're rejecting him is because their wisdom, their learning has gotten in the way of them being able to see who Jesus is. Instead, it says God reveals himself to the little children. The ones that are just willing to accept, the ones that are willing to say, okay, I'm going to go along with you. I trust you. I believe you. This is kind of the difference between being childlike or being childish. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to really grab onto this idea of having childlike faith, and they would tell me, no, you're just being childish. That's different. That's something different. But really, God wants us to have a childlike faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't learn from him. That doesn't mean that you don't study the Word of God. That doesn't mean that you don't attend churches and Bible studies and listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos. That doesn't mean that you're not diving in to everything that God wants to have for you. Because I'll tell you, guys, that if this right here is a pool of water, you will dive and dive and dive and never reach the bottom of it. There is so much wisdom in here. And the more I learn about the Bible, the more I fall in love with it, honestly. And so the instruction here is not don't get wisdom. It's not don't get learning. Instead, the instruction here is to listen to the voice of God and be willing to jump in and to do and to understand what he's saying. And so for these that had rejected him, he says, I wish you would have come to me like a little child, understanding. And I think we can approach the Bible as a child as well, with this sense of wonder, with this sense of awe, with this sense of I'm going to dig in and learn and understand all that it has for me. Don't allow yourself then to become wise in your own eyes. Instead, approach God like a child, full of faith and wonder. I think part of what Jesus is saying here is that things are not going to make sense a lot of the time. That you're not going to be able to fit God into your little box, right? That you're not going to be able to figure out and to understand all of the mystery right up front. But instead, you need to continue to trust him in the meantime. We talked about that last week, so you can go back and listen to that. See, Jesus says, you are going to go out. Yeah, I have a mission for you, but when you go, you're going to be wounded and rejected in the same way that Jesus was. He says, you're going to have questions, you're going to have doubts, but when you do, and this is where we get to verse 28, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you. Can we read this together? Ready? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many of you guys need rest in here? I'll tell you, with the smoke that's outside, like like everything is just, it's a little harder to breathe, a little harder to talk for long periods of time. All of the things that have happened inside of this church body in the last couple months with surgeries and people that have passed on, that have graduated to heaven, all of the different things that have happened, it's easy to be like, man, I just need a few minutes of rest. I just need a few minutes of rest. And yet when Jesus needed rest, the crowds kept coming. We saw this in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to see it again as we continue to progress through the book of Matthew. But when Jesus needed rest, the crowds kept coming. And yet Jesus' invitation to his disciples is, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If I could have my helpers go ahead and join me up on stage. Not sure who all is coming up. And if you guys want to just uncover my little illustration here. Now, I imagine that when Jesus said this, he wasn't just talking to the disciples, but he was talking to the crowds as well. And he was saying, I want you to come. I want you to hear. Those of you that are harassed and helpless, right? That's how Jesus called them. He said, like sheep without a shepherd. Let's go ahead and spin that around too, if we could. He said, I want you to come to me. I see Jesus even in the middle of the street, in the middle of a crowded marketplace, even downtown in Moses Lake, extending the same invitation to those that are around him, saying, come to me, you who are weary, you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. So I've got here this stack of weights. Let's go ahead and just set that on the floor for a minute because we don't need that quite yet. And what I have here is a stack of weights, and these weights are labeled with different things that we might be going through. The first one being self-image, right? A lot of us in here, especially in the younger generation, struggle with their self-image, but even those of us that are more mature can start to wonder, you know, your kids leave the house and you're suddenly left with this hole of what do I do and how do I fill it? You retire and all of a sudden you've got a little bit of extra free time. Actually, when I talk to retirees, they tell me they're more busy than when they were working. But it can be, if your life was wrapped up in your work and your identity was found in your job and suddenly you don't have that anymore, image can be a big thing that you deal with. You've got family concerns and family things that you're juggling. You've got money problems. Every time it feels like you've got a little bit in the bank, then there's another bill that pops up or your car breaks down. And all of these things tend to compound upon each other. You've got your own health. It feels like things are going well. It feels like you've turned a corner and then another thing happens and suddenly the basin is filled with smoke and you can't breathe anymore. Your career, right? You're getting started, you're trying to get ahead, but it feels like it's two steps forward, one step back. You just don't know how to get ahead. And your future as well. You're looking forward, you're trying to make plans, you're trying to figure all of these things out. And all of these things together can be just an amazing weight to try and bear. And if you're going to try and lift it all, you can do it, but not for very long. And what happens is for unbelievers, they're carrying these weights around and they're trying to deal with all of this. And then they have somebody that comes into their life that says, I know exactly how to fix your problem. In fact, what I've got is right here. I've got another weight for you. This is the Jesus weight. And we're just going to stick this on top. Now, most of us in here are believers and we know that it doesn't work like this. But for those that are unbelievers, for those that are seeking God, and those that are dealing with the struggles of life, when you hear, my life is already incredibly busy, I'm having a hard time managing everything, and now I need to add Jesus on top of this, I've got to give up 2 to 4 hours of my week, I've got to give up 10% of my income, I've got to give up, you know, time to, you know, I have to give up my friends, maybe I have to give up the things in life that have made me happy to this point, whether it's alcohol or drugs or you know, whatever it is. And they hear all of this and they say, I'm already having a hard time carrying this weight, and now you've just added another weight on top. And I think that even for us, sometimes there's a burden in having to come to church. in having to get everybody ready. You know, your kids are sick. People are not even sick. Your kids are just cranky because they're kids. And you've got to get them up and you've got to get them ready in the morning. And it can feel like a burden that gets added to a stack that's already too tall and that's already too hard to manage. What Jesus says here is he says, if you're carrying heavy weights, come to me. If life is hard, come to me. If things are difficult, come to me. I'm curious, you know, just to have you guys take a minute to stop and think, but which one of these weights are you carrying? Which one of them is the main burden in your life right now? Maybe it is family issues, family drama, people that are just, you know, they're having a hard time getting along. Maybe it's career concerns. You're trying to figure out what your next steps are and you're not sure how to do it. There are some people out there, and even some people that attend this church but only attend sporadically, that think, I can't juggle another thing. And so they come, but they come, you know, the statistics tell us actually that the average church attender attends about once a month now. That the average across, and our statistics here bear it out. We have something like 140 people that we've looked at that we would say would call this their church home. And yet as you look around the sanctuary this morning, it's fairly obvious that there are not 140 people here. But if each of them comes once a month and they come on off weeks, then it's, you know, it's hard. And if you just think about even your own life, how many times you've attended and things like that. So anyway, there are some people that think, man, church is just an extra burden. And there are some people that like Jesus called out, that are wise in their own eyes, that say, I don't need this extra because I can manage all of this on my own. And I've got all of this figured out on my own. But what Jesus said is that the ways of the kingdom are hidden from the wise. And this is what he meant right here. It's that you think that this is an extra burden. You think that this is an extra weight that is being placed on top of the stack. And you think that when you try to lift it, you guys want to try to lift this? No? Okay. Yeah. All right. You think when you try to lift it, you think you've got it all figured out. Receiving from God is more important than impressing man. And we need to remember that if you want Jesus to work in your life, you've got to come to him. You can't control what people think about you, so don't waste time worrying about what people think about you. So the reason that I brought these here is because Jesus has this invitation to us. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And what he then says is verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. So he says, add to your stack another weight, another thing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So for a parent that's struggling with all of these things, it's difficult to imagine adding this other weight. But Jesus says, come to me. And it's like we respond to Jesus, I appreciate the offer, I appreciate the rest, but I still got work to do, I've got parents to take care of, I've got to fix things that keep breaking, I just don't have time to rest right now. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus doesn't always remove the burdens, but he does share the load. Now what you need to do is you need to understand what a yoke was used for. We've got a picture of it up here, but as we see what they would do is they would take a bar or a beam, and they would lash two oxen together because two oxen could do more work than one of them on their own, and so they would get bound together. What Jesus is saying is, if you need help carrying the weight of life, yoke yourself to me. And things are going to get easier. Things are going to get better. And in addition to this, what would happen is they would actually, as a way to train the younger oxen, they would pair them up with an older, stronger, and more mature oxen, somebody that already knew the course, already knew what to do. And initially, the stronger animal carried most of the weight. But then as the younger one grew and developed and began to understand and mature, it was able to carry more of the weight on its own. This is what Jesus is inviting us to do. Because Moses Lake needs Jesus. Because there are people out there that are lost and that are hurting. Moses Lake needs a church that's learning to love like Jesus. The people of Moses Lake are harassed and hurting and helpless. And sometimes we hear the mission of God and we think it's just one more thing. But as we walk with God, as we go with Him on His mission, what happens to us? We're being strengthened. We grow. We begin to develop. We begin to do more, and we are able to do more. Now, it's easy to think that this is just one more thing, but in fact, this isn't what Jesus is like at all. Jesus isn't one more thing. One more stack added to the pile, one more impossible weight and a series of impossible weights that are already too difficult to carry. Instead, Jesus is the bar, right? And the Bible says, take my yoke upon you. And when it says that, what God is asking us to do is to allow Him to bring structure to your life, to allow Him to allow Him to bring structure to it. Let's go ahead and load that thing up. It's difficult. I actually don't even know how much weight is there. But it's difficult doing all of these at the same time. But once you get yoked with Jesus, the weight doesn't go away. Your family doesn't go away as soon as you get saved, right? That's not it. It's not that you immediately, you know, all of your cares and worries in life are gone. You've seen the videos online of a wife praying, God, just remove all of the stress from my life, and then her husband disappears. It's not like that. Jesus doesn't remove those things. He doesn't remove your career. He doesn't even remove the need to operate with money in your life. But what He does is He begins to work with you. He begins to train you as the stronger oxen and you're the weaker oxen. You walk alongside of Him. You begin to learn how He wants you to do things. You begin to go to Him when you're having money problems or when there's challenges in your career, and you begin to ask Him, God, how can I help? And now, Harley, why don't you demonstrate what it's like when you've got Jesus and you add Jesus to the mix. Now, all of a sudden, you're able to carry the weight, right? How long can you stand there? All right, let's go. So Harley here is doing the work, right? But Jesus is the bar. Now, if I was really going to expand this illustration, it would be Olivia and I coming on either side of the bar and grabbing a hold of it, and we're Jesus. And we're making it just a little bit easier for her to do the work and easier for her to stand there. We still have to work, right? We still have to go out. We've got to share our faith. We've got to tell others about Jesus. We've got to take the words of Jesus to the hurting, the harassed, and the helpless in our life. But when we link up with Jesus, we're able to do so much more than we could on our own. You guys can go ahead and put that down now. You got it? I'll let you do it. Awesome. Can we give them a hand? Come on. Yeah. No, you just leave it right there. I'll trip over it, I'm sure. Okay. So what Jesus does then is He provides a structure for the weight of life. He enables you to understand the world in a way that makes more sense. You see, He says, take my yoke upon you. What does He say after that? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And understand me and come alongside. I'm the weaker oxen yoked to the stronger oxen. He helps me to carry the weight. But while I'm carrying the weight, while I'm walking alongside of him, I'm learning from him. I'm understanding what he wants from me. I'm beginning to learn to love the way that Jesus did, to respond the way that Jesus did, to interact with people, to be generous the way that Jesus was. I mentioned earlier this idea of generosity, and this is the area of my life where I see it play out most often, because sometimes it's hard to tithe. Sometimes it's hard to give. And yet, as I've learned to align my finances to the way that God wants to do things, as I've walked with Jesus long enough to see those blessings come in to my life, now it's easier and easier to be able to give, where before it was a struggle. It was hard to think about, how do I give when I already can't pay all of my bills? How do I begin to trust God when I already am having a hard time putting money in savings, or I've got car repairs coming up? And if that's you, I just want to say, go to God. Ask him. Talk to him. If you need advice or you need help with that, come talk to me. Set up an appointment. I would love to sit down with you and talk with you about this, because I've seen over and over again in my life how, as I've trusted God in the area of my finances, he's enabled me to lift more than I could have on my own. See, rest then, when Jesus says, come to me and you will find rest, rest isn't found in doing less. It's not found in skipping the Jesus piece because it's just so inconvenient. It's not found in laying aside, you know, career or image or things like that. Instead, rest is found in walking closer to Jesus, to being alongside of him, to finding him. And what happens is then we learn to live with love, with joy, with peace, with patience. My stress levels decrease. I get sick less often. I learn to say sorry, and I learn to forgive when I've been hurt. And I see how God works in my relationships to improve the things that are going on. I see how as Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's not a burden that he's giving me. It's an opportunity to see life in a new way. It's an opportunity for us to come to God and to do something different, to organize my life according to his principles. And then, he says, you will find rest for your souls. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into one of our Wednesday night prayer meetings, and I'm just wiped out, and I'm just exhausted. And I'm like, I'm talking to Tiffany ahead of time. I'm like, I don't know that I have anything for tonight. I don't know that I have anything to give. I don't even know. I just want to hide in a corner and let the prayer time happen, and then we can go home and we can finally rest. And by the end of the prayer night, I'm always so energized, and I've always got so, you know, it's like God pours new power, new strength into me as I wait on him. That's what Isaiah 40 tells us, right? That as we wait on the Lord, we will renew our strength. But it's walking alongside of him. It's learning to trust him in every season of our life. So what are you carrying? What is it? Is there one of these weights, or is it something else that you've been carrying, that you need Jesus to share the load? You need Jesus to come and to intervene in this situation. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's worry about your children or regrets, things that you're going through, pressure to fix a situation or to fix a person, the need to control the future. I think for a lot of us, we find ourselves exhausted because we're trying to do so much on our own. We're trying to fix it all on our own. And we think that when we do that, that we're operating in what God wants us to do. But Jesus tells us that when we walk alongside of him, there's rest. When we walk alongside of him, that his invitation to all of us today is simple. And it's to come. It's to come to me. In a minute, we're going to open up the altars, and I'm going to give you guys a chance. Those of you that have been carrying burdens, that have been juggling weights that are too heavy, to come to him again. Say, God, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to learn to love the way that Jesus did. The thing is, the weight is still going to be there. right? It's not going to disappear, but Jesus wants to teach you how to carry it. Jesus wants to be yoked with you so that he can show you the best way to deal with the stresses of life, and he wants to give you a purpose that is bigger than yourself. This is the mission that he wants to send you on. See, when Jesus sends his disciples, he sends his disciples to share this good news. You've been lost in the darkness, and there is a better way. He's telling his disciples, I want you to go out, tell people that the kingdom of heaven is here. You don't have to operate in this old way of doing things anymore. Instead, there's a new way. It's light, and it's life, and it's abundance, and it's fruitfulness, and God wants to give you all of those things. And so for his disciples, he offers this thought. He says, when you yoke yourself to him, he's going to give you a new strength and a new purpose, not from yourself, but from the Lord. Because Jesus doesn't always remove the burdens, but he does share the load. And I want us to just imagine for a minute what it would be like, not only in our lives, but imagine a church filled with rested disciples. A church filled with people that were ready to go because they've been spending time with the Lord. We're not talking about a church that's filled with people that are lazy, that are sleeping all the time, but people with the margin to be able to serve when the need arises. The people that are willing and able to step in when things are difficult. People that are ready to go, ready to help, ready to serve. Imagine serving out of overflow instead of obligation. That when Jesus says, come to me, it's not a burden that you would have to carry, but instead it's a joy that you get to participate in what he's doing. Imagine loving because you were loved first. Imagine being a body who can keep going because Jesus is carrying the weight for you. This is the type of church that gets to stay on mission for the long haul. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage in just a minute, we're going to open up the altars. Because I'd imagine that all of us in here have been carrying weights that we weren't supposed to carry. And we've had things in our lives that have come up, and Jesus has an invitation for you today. Come to me. If you're hurting, if you're worried, if you're ashamed, come. If you've been trying to hold it all together and can't let go, come to him. If you've been trying to self-medicate instead of giving these things to Jesus, come. If you've been concerned about the future, come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the boldness to come. God, that we would not be worried about what the people around us would say, but God, that those of us that are carrying weights, that are carrying burdens, God, that we would come to you. God, that we would be ready to receive from you. God, that we would yoke ourselves with you again. And that, Heavenly Father, we would trust you to do a work inside of us. So, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us, Father, in Jesus' name. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet? Got three different calls specifically that I want to make today. First one is if you've been trying to carry things by yourself and you know you need Jesus to help, Jesus is here for you today. He wants to help you put your life back in order, where there's a structure to it, where you begin to understand, you begin to learn from him. Some of you are carrying burdens that you were never asked to carry. You have friends and family or people in your life that are hurting, and you feel those things deeply. Jesus wants to allow you to release those things to him today, to lay down the anxiety, lay down the pressure of life, lay down the guilt that you've been carrying and release those things to him. And some of you just need fresh strength. You've been faithfully serving, you've been faithfully loving, giving, and praying, and you're tired. And I want to invite you to come and to receive the rest that only Jesus can give. So as the worship team leads us, I want to open up these altars, and I want to invite you guys to come because God has something that he wants to impart to you today. So as the worship team leads us, why don't you guys go ahead and make your way out of your seats and go ahead and come join me down here at this time.